Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
to get to God.
Hallelujah. Because I live right. I treat my neighbor right. And so God will hear your prayer if you're doing accordingly to his will and to his command. So like I have first stated, I do now have the chat room open for your listening pleasure. And so in a few, I will send this number out, the prayer line. You can call in. And at the conclusion of this program, however, and you can speak live with the host and the moderator, and that is yours truly. So I'm going to send out this number, and you can call in at the conclusion of this program and make your prayer request known. And if you have any testimonies that you would like to share with the audience, you know, you're welcome to call in. Something grand that God has did in your life. Maybe God has healed your body. Maybe God has gave you a raise. Maybe God has gave you a promotion on your job. Maybe God has blessed you with a newborn baby. God has blessed you to get married. God bless you to get engaged. Whatever your prayer, I mean, your testimony is and your prayer petition is, you're welcome to call in. Hallelujah. And let the world know what God is doing in your life. The world needs to know what God is doing in the lives of his people and also in the lives of them that don't know him. Because we know that God don't just bless those that serve him, but God blesses those that don't have a personal relationship with him as well. God say he blessed the just as well as the unjust. God is not a God that he pick and choose. Hallelujah. God bless us. He don't bless us the same. I'm not going to say that. But God will bless us. He blesses all of us. He don't just say, I'm going to bless you, and I'm not going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you over here, but I'm not going to bless you over there. But God has his allotted time in which to bless each and every one of us. We have our season of harvest to be blessed. So we have 12 months in a year, and each and every one of us have a time for God to bless us. So like I said, we're going to go right now into our opening prayer, and that is to pray for those that has lost loved ones. And now I'm going to go back into the studio at this time. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, God. Let me see here. I'm going to get back in my studio here. Come on now. Don't go to acting up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's see here. What are you doing, thing? I don't know what this thing is. It's just going around and around. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, now, and I'm going to have to bump my time up because this time that I had has just run out. So I'm going to bump my time up just a little bit. Let's see here. Hold on just a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greetings. Greetings.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, how you?
Pretty well, indeed.
Well, great. You got a testimony for us that something God has done in your life?
Oh, yes.
All right.
His heart stopped for 8 minutes. He was playing basketball at the park right on December the 3rd. And then when they got him to the first hospital, his heart stopped again for over 15 minutes. And they airlifted him to Chicago's Comer's Children's Hospital. He was in a coma. They put ice packs all on his head. He had brain swelling. It was a journey. He was in a coma until Christmas Eve. He actually contracted pneumonia while he was in there, and what they called his condition was myocarditis. It's a very rare condition. And after that, yes, ma'am, after that, they sent us to Indianapolis for rehabilitation. And he's a walking miracle, you know, for his heart to stop for that long and then be alive.
The world needs to know, sis. God is working miracles, and the world needs to know that. You hear me? Mm. Now, that testimony that you just shared just sent chills over me. Because I know God, you know, he heals. And God said he took 39 stripes for our healing, you know. And I tell you, I just thank God for you sharing that on this morning.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, thank you, darling. And I want just whatever that you desire. We still got some time left in 2018, and you know that God is still working miracles. And I would just ask of you whatever you desire of God in this season. Honey, I want you just to declare it. I'll be standing in the gap. I want you to declare it, and it is so. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. And will you be able to listen to the remainder? I won't be long, but will you be able to tune in?
Yes, I will.
You with? All right. And what's your name?
Karis, like Paris with the K, Karis Jones.
Oh, that's pretty. I sure do thank you for sharing that beautiful testimony. And I know that it's going to help somebody, you know, because any time that we're sharing, you know, what God has done in our lives, it's bound to help somebody because somebody need a word. Somebody said, well, now, if they did for Sister Karis, I know that he can do it for me. See, because we know that God, he is no respectful person. What he done for one, he'll do for another. That's right. Well, I tell you, I would be so delighted and such an honor for you to listen in. I have the chat available, and I'm
going to make it.
Bringing you some beautiful hymns of Zion.
So when you walk and talk, and they said he may not walk and talk again. He might not even be there inside of there anymore. I said, oh, he's there. He's there.
Oh, yes, ma'am. That's right. Honey, when you speak the word, that's all God wants us to do. He wants us to just depend on him. Don't depend on Tyrone, but he wants us to depend on him. You hear me? God wants us to depend on him, knowing that he took 39 stripes for our healing. That's right. And I'll tell you, I just enjoyed that just exemplary testimony that you shared with us on this morning. And may God richly bless you. And I want you just to keep listening because, you know, I won't be with you long, but I'm going to bring a word from the Lord, and I'm going to bring you some good hymns of Zion. So I just would just be so gracious to you just to, you know, continue to listen in to the program. And please come back anytime you get ready. Anytime you got a testimony to share, please come aboard.
Okay. Yes.
Would you do that?
Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
All right. Thank you, Sister Karis. And God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. All right, I hope I'm back on. I hope you can hear me now. All right, hopefully you heard that testimony, hallelujah, that God healed this sister's son. They said that he, you know, wasn't looking for him to pull through, but she had the faith that God was going to heal her son. And I'll tell you, that's all you and I and us have to do is just have faith in God, that God will do, hallelujah, what impossible with man is impossible with man is possible with God. All we got to do is put our trust in him. You know, we don't have to trust Tyrone, but we can trust Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of minds and your faith. Hallelujah. So I just want you, like I said, just to continue to tune in. And what we're going to do, we're gonna go into our opening prayer, and that is to pray for those that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours that has lost loved ones. May it be your spouse, may it be your niece or your nephew, your grandparents, your grandson or daughter, your infant baby, your niece or nephew, your business colleague, your health provider, whoever that was near and dear to your heart, this prayer is for you. This prayer is to let you know that in spite of what you're going through, that God is with you. He promised to never leave you, nor will he forsake you. God said, I will be with you, my son. I will be with you, my daughter, to the end of the earth. So that means everlasting. You know, that's something that even our parents, our mother and our father, could not guarantee us that they would stay here on planet Earth from infancy to adulthood. They couldn't make that kind of guarantee on yours and mine and our lives. Say, my son, my daughter, mom is going to be with you. Dad is going to be with you till you get grown. It was in hope and their anticipation that they would linger on here on planet Earth until we reach adulthood. But some of our parents have been long gone. Some of them before we even reach the age of maturity, the age of adulthood. Some of my parents already was called home. But God is a God that when he makes you and I a promise, he is a promise keeper. God do not break his promise with you and I and us. We leave God, but God do not leave us. So right now, I'm going to just go right on into this prayer and end it so we can go on into our program. So I want those of you that has lost loved ones, may have been in the last 72, 48, 24, 12 hours, 5 hours, 2 hours, even 30 minutes ago. We want to send this prayer out to you. We want to send this prayer also out to the Florida campus, those that lives was taken under the walk, the crosswalk or the whatever they call it. It's the new walk that they was building had already set in place. It was not open for the, you know, for the community or anything. But they did have it up and they was ready to, you know, at their designated time to open it for the community and for the college students there that lived out and around that vicinity. But those that lives, hallelujah, was lost in that catastrophe, this message is for you on tonight. And we just want to pray with you and your families that God will strengthen you in this hour of your great loss. Hallelujah. And our prayers are with you, and we mourn with you on tonight, on this morning tonight, because I know it's morning somewhere. It's night here on my block, but it might be morning on your block. So we know each and every one of us is on this corner of the earth somewhere on this planet. And so I just want you to know that we weep with you in this hour. We cry with you. But God told me to tell you that there's prayer warriors that are praying for you and with you during this great hour, hallelujah, of your bereavement, that God will restore your joy and restoration unto your heart and soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty marvelous name. And let Jesus, Assembly of Faith people, say amen and amen. All right, we're going to move it right along because we know that time is yet ticking right along. So now we're going to go into our opening prayer, and that is the prayer that we do when we open up this program, this live digital church worship service that we are presenting on to you on this morning. And so when we come on air, we fail not to acknowledge the one that made this all possible. His identity is Jesus Christ. He's a holy deity. He was born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. He's a Nazarene, but he was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. He's not in that manger on today, but he's sitting not on the rear, not on the left, not in the middle, but he's sitting on the right-hand side of God. Right now, as we speak, right now, March the 19th, 2018, hallelujah, God is sitting in heaven on his heavenly throne. So we're going to just say this prayer, and then we're going to take you on over into a live program that's already in progression. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to come together, God, to congregate and unite around this planet on tonight, God. We just thank you, God, for allowing us to have this podium, hallelujah, this place where we can deliver a message, the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. You told us to go into the world, and you didn't say preach Overseer Ward's gospel, but you said preach my gospel, which is Jesus Christ's gospel. We're talking about Genesis on through Revelation, the 66 books of Jesus Christ. So God made this podium here available for us to congregate from around the world Hallelujah. And preach Jesus to each and every one that have a listening ear. So, Father God, we just thank you for allowing us this opportunity to come before, hallelujah, the people on this evening and to just bring a rhema word. God, we just thank you, Lord, because you told us before you left that you went away to prepare a place for us. And Father God, until that time is upon us, we will continue in your will and in your way, moving upward and onward, God. Hallelujah. And mounting up from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, God, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you, God, to anoint these lips of clay. God, enable me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may not know of you. Hallelujah, God. The pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, each and every one that are listening and each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. God, we won't take your glory and we won't take your praise, but we'll give you all the glory and honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the temple and cathedral of God and his people say amen and amen. All right. Now we're going to carry you on into a live program that's already in progression. Hallelujah. So we just thank you once again, all of our guests, all of our friends, our colleagues, our kingdom assembly and our kinship family, and first-time listeners, and all of you that are out there in our digital live worship program on this morning. We just thank you, and may God richly bless you and you and you. Hallelujah is our prayer. And so right now, without any further ado, we know that we had to try to cover a whole lot in that little moment that we had. So now we're going to go, and we're going to bring you a rhema word from the Lord. And so our sermon or title on this morning is Faith Mixed with Doubt. I want to say that one more time. I'm going to turn my volume down a little bit because I don't want them to get too loud. It's time that I will present them unto you. But right now, I want to give you a rhema word from the Lord. So I'm going to turn them down a little bit. And so our sermon once again is Faith Mixed with Doubt. You might turn over and say, well, what do you mean, faith mixed with doubt? Well, I'm talking about, you know, we can have faith, but yet we still have doubt. You know, we live in a society to where, you know, we have been hurt so many times by friends, you know, by constituents, by business colleagues and people at your workplace and friends and family. And the list just goes on and on. And you have been, you know, hurt to where your best friend that you knew for 20 or 30 years never had, you know, a mixed word among you. But all of a sudden, you have a fallout. Maybe, you know, it was of something that may, you know, you shouldn't have said or what have you. But whoever was at fault, you know, it's up to us to make it right. It's up to us to be the bigger person. And sometimes, you know, even if the other person don't come and say, I'm sorry, you know, then you can say, well, you know, I'm just going to take the initiative and I'm going to call her or him and say that I'm sorry, you know, or say that I forgive them, you know, for whatever that, you know, was rendered. But we know that in this life you're going to be hurt. And you have trust, you put all your trust in a person, and then, you know, in the end, then you have been misled. That friend might have hurt you in some sort of way, you know, maybe personal, you know, maybe something, like I said, maybe or your husband or maybe your kid and your kid and their kid got into it, or a family dispute or whatever the case might be. I don't know. I'm not Dr. Ruth. But what I'm saying is when you put your faith in human, we all falter. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory and honor of God. Hallelujah. So So we know that even the best person can err. Sometimes, you know, we put our trust in God. And then you prayed for your loved one that was on a bed of affliction, on their deathbed, had a terminal disease, and you prayed and you asked God to heal that person, but yet and still that person died. So now you have what you call a mixed faith. You have mixed faith. You have a faith, but it's mixed with doubt because you feel like that your prayer went unanswered. But I want to encourage you on today that sometime when God does not answer our prayer, just know that our Heavenly Father knows best. When we don't understand, hallelujah, just know that God knows best. He's our Heavenly Father. He will not lead us wrong. And so we're going to go into our first key scripture reading. And you can write this down and go back at your leisure time and go back to the scripture reading for your own edification. And so we are coming out of the epistle law of Psalms 42 and 11. And it reads this. It says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him." So we know in spite of our losses, in spite of our setbacks, in the booby traps that the enemy set for you and I and us, we got to praise God in midst of our storm, in midst of our anguish, in midst of our great loss. You know, I can speak on it because I've had more loss than I imagine one could probably encounter in a lifetime. One would might ponder, Overseer Ward, how do you do it? How can you make it? I lost my parents. I lost my mother in Christmas Eve, 88. I lost my father in New Year, the month of November, 1997. Then death came back and took my husband in 2001. Come back in 2010 and took a sister. And then 1985, took a brother. 1986, took a sister. So the list go on and on. 2014, took a brother. 2015, took a 38-year-old nephew. So I can tell you, hallelujah, from experience, what it is to lose a loved one. I've been there. I've done that. I've lost children. Hallelujah. So I know where you're coming from. I'm not at the, you know, at a point to where, you know, I don't know where you're coming from, but I know where you're coming from because I've been in your shoes. Hallelujah. But I know that God will bring you out. God can bring you through this. Hallelujah. We know that there is no hurt that heaven cannot heal. Hallelujah. And so I just want to share a little testimony with you quite briefly, if I shall. An individual said that she lost a close friend in an automobile accident and how her heart was broken and that she had to admit that her circumstances was that she was so hurt and that her faith at that time had been mixed with doubt because her best friend had died. And yet she cried out to God and she questioned God. And it's not a sin to question God because you and I, if we have doubts, if we have concerns, we have questions, God wants you and I to come to him. He don't want us to go to Mr. Jones. He don't want us to go to Miss Jones. He don't want us to go to Tyrone, as I have already mentioned earlier. God do not want us to go to Tyrone, but God wants us to come to him when we have questions because God holds all the answers. He don't have to go to Webster. We can go to God. And so this sister said, she said, "Lord, so I'm sure. So I sure don't understand why you allowed this death." And this sister went on to say, she said, "Have you not heard the everlasting God? Neither faint nor is weary. And the Bible says that his understanding is unsearchable. in the law of Isaiah 40 and 28. Say, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, in the law of Isaiah 55 and 8. Lord, we know that God, he is beyond yours and mine and our understanding. She said, but I still wonder, have you turned your back on the world? We know that God has not turned his back on neither of us. All of us he loves with a love that no one could even, you couldn't explain. You couldn't explain. And I stagger because you can't, it's not something that you can explain away. You cannot explain God's love because his love is from everlasting to everlasting. So there's no end in God's love. It's beginning without end. Hallelujah. But we know that God sits on his holy throne in the law of Psalms 47 and 8. And he rules by his power forever. And the Lord says that I do believe, hallelujah, that you are ruling this world. This sister said, I believe, God. You are ruling this world. She said, but do you care about the pain? Have you forgotten to be good? And I'm here to encourage your heart that God is always good, even when we think otherwise. God has his own reasons for taking my mother. God has his own reasons for allowing my uncle to get killed. God has his own reasons for allowing my brother to get killed. God has his own reasons. God has his own reason for taking my husband of cancer. God has his own reason for taking my mother with cancer. God has his own reason for taking my father with decongested heart failure and decongested heart disease. We don't understand God. We don't understand him because you cannot understand him. He's beyond our mental, moral mind. God surpasses our understanding, hallelujah. Our mind will explore trying to figure God out. We cannot figure him out, but we said yes to your will, God, and yes to your way. You made my mother. You made my father. I didn't make them. You made my parents. You made my siblings, my sisters and my brothers, my nephews and my nieces. You made all of them. And the Bible says that the God he giveth and the Lord taketh, and blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, excuse me. So we know that in this life we're going to lose somebody that we are near and dear and close to our heart. Death is going to knock at somebody's door that we love, but we can't charge God. We said, Lord, let your will, not thy, my will, but let your will be done. Hallelujah. So we know if I was to speak for God, and I am speaking for God right now, I'm God's eyes, and you are his eyes. You are God's hands, and you are God's feet. You preach God's word, you minister, and you evangelize. And you tell others about the goodness of Jesus, your encounter with Jesus, what he's done in your life, how you might have been ill and God healed you, how you might have been homeless and God bless you with an apartment, with a home, with a duplex, with a condo, with a mansion, with a palace, whatever God's blessed you with. You know that you once had mixed faith, but now your faith is not mixed anymore. Hallelujah. You got faith in God because God has proven himself to you to be real and to be a God that keeps his promise. So God said, I am good and I'm ready to forgive. And I am abundant in mercy to all who call upon me. Hallelujah. So we know that, yes, Lord, you have been good to each and every one of us in countless ways. Hallelujah. Including those that have doubts, have questions about you, Jesus. We know that the answer God gives you and I to us in his word, it may not take away yours and mine and our sadness, but we can always rest in his truth, and he is wise He is sovereign and he's good. Jesus is good anyhow. You know, I tell you, I had a large family. A large family. And my family now is just about, I can count them on my two hands. I just have nieces and pretty much nephews. Little cousins. My family has shrunk. But I don't, you know, I don't accuse God, and I don't claim God, and you know, God, you know, I'm mad at you because you took my mom, you took my husband, you took my father, you took my siblings, you took my nephew, you took my niece, you took my cousins. You know, we don't charge God for that, because whatever God does, just know this, is for his glory and his honor. God might have had to take somebody in order to reach somebody. So in order to reach a soul, God might have to take a soul in order to get yours and mine and our attention. We don't know what God has on his agenda. But we say, God, not my will, but let thy will be done. And it is so. Hallelujah. So we never should charge God for taking a loved one. But we just say, God, not my will, but let thy will be done. And so we're going to read our second key scripture, because we know that time is of an essence and is moving rapidly along. So our second key scripture is coming out of Luke 13:2. And it reads this. Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse of sinners? All right. So now, here's another tragedy. Because we know that in this life, we're going to continue to have tragedies as long as we live and exist here on planet Earth. And the reason that we're having all of these catastrophes and calamities is because of sin itself. Of sin. When sin entered the world, then all of the sickness, curse came upon us. We bore all the curse. God bore the sins, and we bore the curses. God died and hung out on Calvary Mountain, went all the way to Golgotha's mountain, suffered, bled, and died. The Bible says, and the sun refused to shine. They pierced Jesus in his side. They nailed his left and his right hand to a cross. Then they placed one foot upon the other, and drove spikes from the top layer down to the very core of God's flesh. Hallelujah. Then they put a crown of thorns upon his head. They whipped him 39 stripes across his backside for yours and mine and our sin. But we bore the curse of the sins that was laid upon God. So as long as me and you and I exist, we will have death and sickness. But God said that all sickness is not until death. So we know that sickness, we can name it and claim it. And if we believe God, we know that God can bring it to pass. If God can raise Lazarus, God raised Lazarus from his tomb. We know that God can do anything, but with one exception, and that is fail. My sister and my brother, there's no failing in God. We fall and we fail short of the glory and honor of God. But God have not fallen and he shall not fall. There is not one blemish upon God. The only blemish that he bore was the 39 stripes that he bore for our sins. The bruises were for our chastisement. And we know that the world was placed upon Jesus. But by his 39 stripes, you and I and us is healed. And even if you had been given a doctor's report and it wasn't to your satisfaction, you can go into your secret closet. You can pray lying down, sitting down. And you can just place your hand on you and pray the prayer of faith and say, I know what the doctor said, but I don't want to take what the doctor said. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And God will heal you. You just believe that Hezekiah in the Bible was appointed to die. But he prayed, hallelujah, that God would extend his lifespan. And God did that. I think God added, I believe, if I make no mistake, about 15 years to Hezekiah's life. So we know that God is yet sitting on his holy throne. So don't let nobody, you know, deceive you and try to cloud your mind about God. Because God loved you on today. God took 39 stripes to prove his love. He went to Calvary Mountain to prove his love. He died to prove his love for you and I and us. On this morning, I come to tell you the good news that Jesus loved you. Jesus loved you. But I'm reminded again about a husband and wife that was killed and they were struck by a drunk driver. And you might ask, you know, you've asked God, you've pondered this in your heart. God, why did you take my mother? Why did you take my parents, my grandparents? Why did you take my husband, my wife, my kid, my son, my daughter, my niece, my nephew, you know, my uncle, my aunt, my cousins, my good friend, my dear friend, you know, my business colleague, my health provider, you know, those that was near and dear to your heart. God, why did you take these individuals? They were good people. They didn't do anybody any harm. But you know, you don't have to do anybody wrong for God to call you home. You don't have to do anything wrong. But you can rest assured, as I have forestated earlier, this for God's glory. So whatever God does is for his glory and for his honor. It's not to hurt you and I know. But it is for his glory and his honor is to maybe save another life from the pit of hell and damnation. And so you said that this individual that was struck by this drunk driver was a good person. They didn't do anybody wrong. They loved their church family. You know, and why did this happen to this husband and wife? You know, a lot of people want to blame God. But we know that Jesus referred to tragedies that occurs in our everyday lives. He said that Pilate had killed some Galileans, and he has mixed their blood with their sacrifices. Then you go on down to Luke 13:1. And said it was 18 Israelites that died when a tower fell on them, verse 4. So we know that the idea was that people who died like that woman and her husband and wife that had gotten killed must have been guilty of horrendous sin. No, that's not necessarily so. Because Jesus said that he told his hearers, instead of trying to find someone to blame, see, they should see such events as a call of repentance. So just like I said, God giveth and God taketh. So just like God gives a life every day, every moment, every second of the hour, we know that a baby is being born. And just as sure as a baby is being born, somebody is leaving this earth. Some is coming in and some is exiting the planet. So Jesus told them, instead of trying to find someone to blame, they should to seek in such events as a call of repentance. See, he said that if they would willfully reject him as their Messiah, so if people reject God as their Lord and Savior and resist in their sins, he said they would face a fearful end. So we have a choice in this matter. You can either, you know, just remain complacent in where you are right now and continue to live for Satan and allow him to rule your life. Or you can change over and make a change in your life and say, you know, I'm tired of living in Satan's playground. You know, I've done enough out there in the world and I don't know how much time that God has given me, but with the time that God has allowed me, I want to give my life to God. I want to set an example for my children, for my grandchildren, for my aunt, my uncle, for my grandparents, for my business colleagues, you know, from my best friend. You can be the example that will pull your best friend in from out of the cold of sin. You see? So God says that when we hear of inexplicable tragedies, he said, let's be content to leave the why and the question unanswered. But we can assure of God's love. So you can go to the Epistle of Romans 8:39. He said that we can look at these events as a time for self-examination and repentance. So God says now is the time of repentance. Now is the day of salvation. We know that tomorrow is not promised to anyone, for today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. So we know as members of a fallen race, the question that we all must face is, have we chosen to repent and trusted Christ, whom God has sent? We know that life tragedies are called to reflect and repent. Hallelujah. We're going to read a little bit more, and then we're going to conclude this, and we're going to bring you our second phase of our program, and that is the hymns of Zion. And so we're going to read this last reading because our time is ticking along, and like I said, I want to bring you some hymns of Zion to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So I'm reminded, hallelujah, of these individuals that God say had a grasshopper mentality. Now we read the report given by Moses, by the spies, that he had sent out to investigate the land that God had promised his people. And he said that the majority report was depressing, it was dark, and it was negative. And it was faithless because in these men's eyes, and I'm talking about this faith mixed with doubt, that in these men's mind, their only hope was in their own ability. They could only see themselves as grasshoppers among so great a people. Okay? So number one, it says that the fact they reported was true. Said the people who lived there were powerful, number one. Number two, the city were fortified and very large. Number three, the giants were in the land. Number four, the people were of great size. Number five, it was a land that devoured its inhabitants. But the Bible says that these 10 men had a grasshopper mentality. A mentality that produced fear. So I want to ask you on this morning, do you have that mentality of fear and doubt, of anger, anxiety, apostasy, bitterness, deception, low self-esteem? So the Bible says that this is what they had. Hallelujah. And so God says that such a mentality caused them to forget the promise of God. Sometimes me and you forget just how powerful God is. We think that, oh, God can't do that. You know, that's too much. That's too big for God. You know, he can't restore my credit to A credit. You know, my credit now is bad as credit now, but God cannot restore my credit to a good credit rating. God cannot stop my foreclosure on my home. God cannot stop the repossession of my car. God cannot stop, even though this baby is trying to be aborted, you know, I'm not trying to lose this baby, but this baby is trying to lose itself in my wombs. So God is not a God that he can keep this baby from being aborted, being, you know, to die in my wombs. I don't think God can save this baby. I don't think God is that big, but I want you to know that God has all power in his hand. If God can speak this planet into place, God said, let there be light. He says, let there be. Three words, let there be. And so it was. So if God can speak light into the world, the Bible says that this world was void and it was dark. Then God spoke life and there was life. So if God can speak life to a dark world, if God can call you and I into existence, it's nothing, absolutely, positively nothing impossible with God. And I'm going to read this and then we're going to go into our second phase of our program. So anyway, God says that such a mentality caused them to forget the promise of God. They forgot the covenant that he had made with Israel to be their God. They had forgot the great and wondrous work that God had already performed for them. It says the majority report that to Joshua and Caleb in the law of Numbers 14 and 7 through 9 was also true. The Bible says that we are well able to overcome. Number two, the land is exceedingly good, a good land. Number three, it says that if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. So I want to ask you on this morning, how many times have you and I and us, how many times have we have just, you know, forgot that God is the same God that touch you and I and us every morning and wake us up. You know, we forget that God, we are his children. We are the sheep of his pasture. And we know that God has not, will not, shall not, never become so preoccupied with our struggle. We're the one that's preoccupied with our struggle and our cares. That we have allowed fear and doubt and anxiety to cause you and I to forget the things that God has already performed in our lives. Just like the children of Israel. They were fearful that God has brought them into a place to starve them. God had brought them out of a place where they was just roaming around with no sense of direction for 40 years. God had gave them locusts and all kind of good, you know, good food. Yet they was complaining. They had forgot about the deed that God had already done in their lives. And that's the same way we are. We forget about the wondrous work and the power of God that he's already performed in our lives. But we allow, like I said, fear and doubt and anxieties to cause us to forget, hallelujah, all the wondrous things that God has performed already. And so that causes us to have a faith mixed with doubt, a grasshopper mentality. We see things as it appear, and we walk by sight. We're not walking by faith. We're walking by sight. But if we are to walk by faith, my sister and my brother, we will see that the Lord is with us. God has not given you and I and us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That scripture reading is coming out of law. Of the second epistle of Timothy 1 and 7. What a wonderful hope for you and I and us, the believers. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. This program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God. If you have any prayer petitions you'd want, the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to the God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your remittance to P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California. Make it attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. I want you to go in God till we meet again across these airways and skyways and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. If you have any prepositions, you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree and to bring your prepositions to fruition. Now is the time to call in. We call it our Studio Dial-Up Prayer Request Line. And that number is 646-200-3074. That number again is 646-200-3074. The Studio Call-Up Prayer Request Line is now open. If you desire me to pray and touch and agree in faith that God will bring your prayer petition through to its fruition, please call in right now. We're going to give you time to call in. And so we just hope and pray that you have enjoyed the program. I hope that it has encouraged your heart on tonight, on this morning, wherever you are on planet Earth. May God richly bless you. I want you to don't let this be your last attentive program session, but I want you to come in again in this live church worship experience of the Old Ship of Zion, where your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ford. And so if we don't have any prayer petition at this time, then we're going to take you right now into our live church and worship service, second phase of Hymns of Zion. That is to uplift your spirit and to encourage your heart. So until we meet again, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Hallelujah. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah. You be blessed.
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. Diva.